All right, well, let me go over here to the Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys that the Right Side Way is brought to you every single day by attorney Stan McDonald. He's a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, and I will be telling you more about him momentarily. But yeah, Stan McDonald, sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. All right, let me get my notes pulled up here. And I'll just tell you, this topic is actually one of the dippers for the day. But I got to lead off by saying this. So I was at a high school football game one night some years ago, right? I love Friday night games, under the lights, the cool of the fall weather, the bands playing, it's halftime shows, it's concession stands staffed by volunteers, it's kids out there on the field giving all they've got for the chance to play a sport that nobody's getting paid for. They just do it for the pride of being on the team. But at this particular game, there was one play that resulted in a touchdown, but that play was tied to a questionable call by one of the refs. See, the story went, and I was there, I saw it, with fourth and goal, the defense seemed to actually hold the line. But then a flag was thrown, and it was a penalty on the defense, and so it gave the other team one more chance. And they converted for a game-winning touchdown with just minutes left in the game. And was the crowd angry? Yeah, of course they were. But then one of the parents, while I'm watching, one of the parents came down out of the stands, ran out on the field, and punched the ref right in the face. On the field. Knocked him down right there on the field in front of everybody. Now listen, lots of folks were angry, but one man acted on his anger, and the police had to get involved. If you've been watching the news, you're once again wondering how the left gets away with so much. I mean, the other day I spoke about the group that calls itself Indivisible. They're an organized faction of what I call the anger industrial complex. They live and breathe and feed and raise money on nothing but anger. Their website, their social media postings are filled with words like demands and anger and outrage. And they organize events and insist that elected officials show up so they can be shouted at. Let me just suggest that being a public servant is not the same as being a public whipping boy. The simple fact that somebody is an elected official does not remove them from the bounds of simple human decency. But when all you live for is the next burst of anger, well, that seems to be all they have. There's a difference in anger that manifests itself in rage and anger that manifests itself in just mere fervency and passion. BLM became the model. BLM was given a free pass in the summer of love in 2020. While most of us were in near lockdown because of government overreach during COVID, BLM was given free rein just to conduct angry mayhem. It became a coordinated, multi-state swath of destruction. Axios did a review and found that just the insurance claims for damages done by BLM mobs came in at over $1 billion. And 15 people died in those riots. Too often, good people, innocent people, are the victims of those who manufacture and foment their anger as a means of pursuing their goals. Well, look, the U.S. is a free speech zone. I mean, it's perhaps the greatest free speech zone in the world. We enshrine the right to public discourse in our founding documents. We protect them in our courts. But just because you can say it doesn't mean I have to listen to it. But when angry people want to yell angry words, their anger can actually spill over. And Indivisible, the organization, is stepping over the line. Indivisible has now named this coming weekend as the Tesla Takedown Weekend right here in our listening area. They've got it planned for Chattanooga. They got it planned for Franklin. They got it planned for Nashville. Indivisible of Tennessee says they got their Tesla Takedown Weekend. And all across the nation, we're seeing a new variant of this Trump derangement syndrome manifesting itself as a Musk derangement syndrome. Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, the owner of SpaceX, Twitter, X, and Tesla, has suddenly gone from being the darling of the left to public enemy number one. And the deep irony is, he's the world leader in producing electric vehicles, which is supposed to be one of the super causes of the progressive left. But since he dared to align himself with Trump and start Doge, well, suddenly, Tesla bad, Elon bad, and the Musk derangement syndrome has begun manifesting itself in things like gunshots at Tesla dealerships, cars being burned, Tesla charging stations being destroyed, a rash of individual vandalism on people's cars, keying Nazi swastikas into their innocent Teslas right there in parking lots. And most notably, Elon Musk says there have been threats against his life. And I got news, y'all. That's not speech. That's criminal activity. And to deepen the irony, Musk is the one who actually opened up Twitter, now X, to allow more freedom of expression. But the progressive left is now working to crush his freedom of expression. And let's not forget, by the way, that Musk is actually a private citizen. Tesla is a private company. You want to boycott his company? Go for it. But burning it down is actually off limits. You see, civilized civilians conducting civil disobedience civilly, that's where it's supposed to be. You don't like Musk? Fine. That does not open up your anger to have a physical outlet. Life, limb, and property are being threatened, and at some point soon, there's going to be an actual death caused by this spillover from the anger industrial complex again. This is a real thing, y'all. It is very real. But don't get me wrong. I mean, I love civil discourse, and even to some degree, I appreciate civilized civil disobedience. I mean, more so than any other in recent history, we're seeing in this time that we're in, people conducting the very essence of civil disobedience all over the world, as various forms of government, local, state, and federal, have all coalesced in some areas or operated independently in others to actually curtail the most basic of fundamental freedoms like freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of movement, the right to earn a living. We saw it all, especially during the COVID years. And before any of my liberal trolls, though, want to bow up and throw out some lame response about why they're allowed to riot, let me remind you, there are indeed fundamental human rights that are typically enshrined in virtually every free society. As a lawyer, I can tell you that we often refer to such a body of unchanging moral principles as the natural law, we call it, the natural law. It's like rights that whether or not they're even enacted by statute in the society, they are still enshrined in the natural sense by God, by nature, by reason, by common sense. But there's limits to it, though. There are limits. And violence and mayhem and threats are where we draw the line. You see, civil disobedience is supposed to be just that. It's supposed to be civil. Henry David Thoreau argued in his work that was aptly titled Civil Disobedience that a man must not, quote, for a moment or in the least degree, resign his conscience to the legislator, meaning that there will be times when opposition to higher authority is actually warranted, that your conscience, your opinion, can actually dictate your response. But I got news. If you burn my business, trash my reputation, threaten my family, or raid my assets, you're not going to be around to enjoy it much. It's important that in some form of civil sense, with civility, that civilians find their means to conduct civil disobedience. Every once in a while, government needs to hear no. I said all those things a moment ago about liberties being curtailed, especially during COVID. We saw it over and over and over again. But I'm not talking about riots and destruction like the left always pursues. I'm not advocating for violence. I would never advocate for that. I am not advocating, though, for sitting idly by either. Not staying quiet, not just taking it because some local hack or some lofty politician or some bureaucrat decided they don't value your freedoms. But y'all, there's a balancing act. There has to be. There's a balancing act. When the left decides that it must destroy opposing views, not just protest them, but actually destroy them, that's when society begins to break down. So if you hear that a group is organizing to stand in the public square and call for our basic freedoms to be curtailed, then consider adding your voice to saying no. If you hear that some of the radicals are talking about going and burning down a car dealership in your area just because they don't like the guy who actually makes the cars, you might want to say no. If social media shuts you down, go to a different platform that welcomes dissenting opinions, because the average Joes and Janes, the right side ruffians out there, is we have to make ourselves heard. But once again, if you hear that a violent, angry mob is working to destroy the public square or take things by force or act out their anger in ways that no rational person would ever agree to, then steer clear of it. Because that is not free speech. That is criminal activity. And the sooner we put a stop to it, the better. Local law enforcement needs to wake up. There is no such thing as free speech when you're burning a Tesla. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.